There's a lot of other places I could have went to start, but this is where it nails it down. The idea we want to talk about here this morning. Been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, and I hope you'll listen and take it to heart. So I know I always say that, but it's just that people don't listen. You don't listen, and. You know, you got to listen before there's any hope. I tell you what, when we stand before God, I guarantee that every one of us is going to wish that we'd listen to every word that God provided for us to hear to try to help us to understand. So much confusion, so much lies, so much deception in this world and in the what's called the work of God. My. Church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. And you ought to be able to come to church and find the truth. And you can if you listen. Now, I've been at this a long time, and I've found out people listen the way they want to listen. They hear what they want to hear. They twist words and hear and interpret it the way they want to interpret it. Self-righteousness, the enemy of your soul. The enemy of God. I've just been thinking about these things. Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and we'll pray, and then we'll get going here. Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There you go. There's no reason to wonder, doubt, or not understand. It's revealed from heaven. How men hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. And God's going to get them for it. Amen. God's going to get anybody that's involved in it. Anybody that's passive about it. I mean, you got to choose sides. Whose side you on? You on the Lord's side? Choose you this day whom ye will serve. You on the Lord's side? You on the world's side? Well, if you're going to be on the Lord's side, you better fight a good fight and be a good soldier. You better not be a sloppy, AWOL, careless burden upon the work of God. You need to have your sword sharp. And you need to be about yourself and have your mind clear. And you need to have all of your weapons and everything clean and ready for use. And you just can't be sloppy and careless in the work of God. And too many are. And so too many are perishing because of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Pray you bless it and help us, Lord, to understand these things. Lord, pray you'd help me to say it right and not be confusing about it. I pray, Lord, the words would be right on this morning and not miss the mark. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, did you ever wonder why God didn't send the children of Israel into the promised land with a mission to convert the heathen of the land to God? Why God's love? You know, God loves everybody. Why would he not just send them in there and tell them, now just go in there and explain to these people what you have seen God do. Explain to them my law that I've given you. Give them the word of God and they'll believe and be saved. Exactly, Jacob. You got it right on the mark. That's my message this morning. They were too far gone. Amen. There was no fixing it. Did you ever read that verse where the Bible says there was no remedy? Amen. God Almighty couldn't do what needed to be done for them to be saved. Because they would not listen. Amen. See, that's what I'm talking about this morning. Do not be dull of hearing. Their mission was to kill them all. Now that's what God said. Whether you like it or not, whether that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, whether that offends you, it doesn't matter what you think this morning or how it strikes you. That's exactly what God commanded them to do. Kill everything that breathes. Because everything was so defiled, so polluted, and not just physically, mentally, in their heart. They could not think right enough to reason with. You couldn't talk to them. You couldn't explain nothing to them. They rejected your facts. They reject the truth. They don't want to hear it. They've got a whole body of truth of their own. They understand the whole world, universe, God, and everything completely different. And they are dead set in it. That is self-righteousness. When you think you got it all figured out and ain't nobody can tell you nothing, you're in the same boat that those Canaanites were in. Same boat that the Sodomites were in. Same boat that the whole world was in before God drowned them all in the flood. The skeptics and the non-thinkers simply attribute that fact that God ordered them all dead to God's just arbitrary will. And they believe that God did all the people in the land a great injustice. God treated them bad because it was their land and he just took it away and he killed them all. Well, no, God's just. You better remember that. God in heaven is a just God. And God in heaven is a long-suffering God. He's a God that is not willing for that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's never gleefully wanting, having a desire for anybody to be put in hell. No, that's not God's desire. God's desire is for them to be saved. And he waits and he waits and he waits and he sends prophets and he sends teachers and he does signs and wonders in their sight. And they still won't believe. And they still won't believe. And they still reject. Now, God never changes. He's a God that's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the God we serve today, who we know is like that. That's the same God that was back then that told Moses, kill them all. Be rid of them. There's no fixing it. They're beyond the reach of grace. Nothing can reach them. Now, whether you believe that or not, if you don't believe it, you're just wrong. Now, that's a fact. That's the way it is. There's people on the earth right now that are beyond the reach of grace. He was long-suffering with those people and only sentenced them to die when there was no longer any possibility of making them understand and turn to God. And the same is true of the world before the flood. And the same is true of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains. Even though Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, and shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Now, he's not saying the Sodomites would have repented, but Lot's family might have. Remember, he was going to spare it for 10 people. That's how many it was in Lot's immediate family. If just Lot and his children and sons-in-laws, like Noah, had been righteous or been able to been calling them righteous in any form, God would have spared that city. And if they would have seen what these people seen, Jesus said, Sodom wouldn't have been destroyed like it was. But couldn't reason with Lot. Couldn't reason with Lot's wives. Couldn't reason with his sons-in-laws. Never mind the Sodomites that filled the city. They were way beyond any kind of reason. So they all died. And God drug Lot and his two daughters out, drug them out of the city by force because Abraham prayed. Don't forget that. We have to understand that God would have spared that city if there had been 10 people there that could be called righteous. And that's the number of people that was in Lot's immediate family. If they could have seen the works that Jesus did with the knowledge they had of the God of Israel, they would have believed. Jesus said, but the Sodomites of the city would not have repented because they were beyond the reach of the light. I believe that. Yes, I do. I'm looking around me at this world I live in. I'm watching people that I've watched all my life. And I believe that's the way it is. And plus that, I've got a whole bunch of Bible here to back it up. All this teaches us something very important. Listen, there's a boundary where the grace of God ends and there's no longer any hope of return. Now, I've heard it preached through the years about sending away your day of grace, and I've always kind of resisted that. I've always had this opinion, You know, and I still do, and maybe I can explain it better by the time I get to the end of this, but as long as somebody's alive, there's hope for their soul. But there's people who there is no hope. The condition that they're in right now, in their mind and in their heart, there's no hope for them. Amen. You won't listen to the Word of God. There's no hope for your soul.
That's right.
If you're a skeptic, if you're a rebel, if you're a hater of God, there's no hope for your soul as long as you stay in that condition. And you can mess with your mind and mess with your heart, and you can keep on plunging into the depths of sin and drugs and all the rest that's here to help you till you'll never find your way out of that darkness and fog, because you have crippled your mind. You have so polluted your heart that you have messed it up to where there's no way out. No way out. This is not because the fact that there's no hope is not because God cannot reach them, but because they've made it impossible for themselves to understand. That's very important. I've watched people, and I've thought about this so much through the last bunch of years, and I've preached that about the mind and the heart and the will, you know, and that really helped me to understand all this. But let me tell you something. I've watched people in their crazy thinking as they get crazier and crazier and crazier. And their logic is so absurd and so wrong and so full of the devil's influence that's obvious to me. Anybody else that's got any kind of understanding. And you cannot talk to them. You cannot reason with them. And I'm not talking entirely about people who are out there in deep sin. They're not the ones that are the true reprobates. The true reprobates sit in churches. That's where they're at. That's where you'll find most of them. They're self-righteous. They got her figured out. And boy, listen, the devil and his false prophets have weaved a web that is unbelievable in its complexity over this sin and religion and stuff. I mean, you can say something to them and try to straighten them out about grace, and they'll resist that, but you can take another subject in sin. You know, talk about sin. They've got all those bases covered too with their theology that is all entangled together, and the devil has woven a net. And buddy, he's got them. And you can't make them think right. You can't talk them out of it. Well, as we'll read here in the scriptures, professing themselves to be wise. That's exactly where they're at. And you know, we need to beware. Whenever we get to the point and we develop this attitude of, I know, and I understand, and I'm right, and you ain't going to tell me. No, don't let those words fall out of your mouth. You better have a humble attitude before God. Anybody that is right with God has a humble attitude, and they're teachable, and they will listen. Yes. I mean, it's flesh when you just flare up and get mad. And you're ready to fight. I have to resist that. You know, that's... I could do it real easy. But, you know, enough of experience has taught me that ain't the way it is. Jesus didn't do it that way. You know, there's a time to be firm and to be aggressive about it. But, you know, most of the time, that's just not the way it is. Let me hurry up here. There's a point where the mind becomes so corrupted with lies and twisted thinking that it is impossible to see the light of God. Do you think you could win that woman that's run and got in Congress now, that that's all she's in the news all time? What's her name? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Do you think you could reason with her about anything? I mean, the sky is blue. No, I'm not going to. She'd argue with you about that. She's so far removed from any kind of truth from what I see about her and what I hear out of her mouth. She's one of those people. And, oh, I mean, I'm just using her for example. There's plenty of others that are not near as far out there and so obvious. There's a lot of people that I know that I've went to church with that I've been acquainted with for years and years, and they're just as bad or worse than her when it comes to things concerning salvation, the grace of God, sin, faith, eternity, truth in general. I mean that. I mean, they call themselves Bible believers, King James Bible believers. And they're upside down in everything. And their minds are in the same kind of state as that woman there that we talk about. Oh, everybody looks at her and says, oh my goodness, that's really crazy, crazy. You know, and they make jokes about her and all these memes about her and how stupid she is and all that. But, you know, she's just an example of what I'm talking about here this morning. You can go beyond a point, and it's your mind and it's your heart, both. But it's mainly the mind, because the mind is the guard of your heart. Remember, we talked about all that? Your mind discerns truth. And when you get messed up there, and you call truth a lie, and lies a truth, then your heart is going to be wacko. Yes, sir. And you're going to be in the darkness. Now, Noah preached righteousness for 120 years while the ark was being prepared. And not one single soul in the entire world believed him except his immediate family. And Noah was right. And the whole world was wrong. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor because he was righteous and he preached righteousness. And he understood things right because he believed God and he trusted God and he obeyed God, moved with fear, built an ark to the saving of his house. He tried to convince other people, but he couldn't convince them. Noah could not convince a single soul in the world to believe God and get on that ark. How about that? What was the matter with them people? Oh, their thinking was completely different than his. The whole world had been swallowed up in that crazy reasoning and believing and thinking on based on lies. And they called evil good and good evil. And they thought he was crazy and evil. Where are we at now? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They're going to be doing all the same things, thinking the same way, believing the same junk as they did in Noah's day when God destroyed the world because there was no saving it. There was no hope for it. Amen. Everybody's got this false idea that everybody ran to the ark and was clawing at the walls when the rains came. No, they weren't. They were total reprobates. Amen. You read in the book of Revelation, and when the hailstones fall weighing a talent, 100 pounds and something apiece, and fire out of heaven, and the sores, and the locusts, and the torment, and they want to die, but they can't die. And you know what they do? They don't pray, say, oh God, have mercy on us. We're saying, no, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores and the hailstones. What are you going to do with people like that? What are you going to do with a mad dog? Pet him and coddle him and hug him and hope he gets better? No, a mad dog is going to kill you if you don't kill him. God's the king of this universe. And ain't nobody going to take over, the devil or nobody else. And man certainly is not. That's what he's tried to do over and over. God stopped him every time. That's what they're trying to do right now. That's what's in the mind of mankind right now. Get rid of God. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. The roadmap to this reprobate and depraved state of mind and heart is plainly laid out in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, we're right there. Verse 21, 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, and they became fools. There are people who claim to know God, but do not glorify Him as God, but begin to imagine God to be more like themselves. That's what this contemporary idolatry is, where the preacher looks like a hippie in his little skinny jeans and his shirt and his irreverent attitude, and don't even talk about God and the things of God, but talks about self-love and self-satisfaction and exalting self. Makes me sick. Makes me angry. Telling people, and it amazes me how they got the crowds, and the God of this world draws them in. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's these people. No, they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And they made God like themselves. They think, they determine and imagine what God's like by looking it in the mirror. He's got to be like me. He's got to think like I think. He's got to feel like I feel. Well, yeah, you know, because the universe revolves around me. That's it, buddy. And they got this attitude toward about God. So they have a form of godliness. It's religion. And they name the name of God. And they name the name of Jesus. But it ain't the God. And it ain't the Jesus that this book talks about. And it ain't the one that showed Himself to Moses and the children of Israel. It's not that God. They're worshiping the devil. Do y'all get that? That's what they're doing. And they're calling Him God. They have a form of godliness. Oh, yeah. They claim to be Christians. They play their worldly music. And they rock to words that say, Jesus, once in a while. Maybe. The previous verses in this chapter right here in 2 Timothy, it gives a list of the practices they were doing. Murder, envy, all of the things that are terrible. That's what those people do. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of. What is the power of godliness? Well, if it ain't to deliver you from the dominion of sin in this life right now, then it ain't. That's what it's talking about. God ain't got. What kind of power has He got? He created the universe, created the moon, the sun, the stars, and all that. And He created all of us and everything you've ever seen in your life. God created it. But He ain't got enough power to deliver us from the power of sin in this life. Makes me sick. Makes me angry for people to say that saying of, you know, we just sin every day and we can't help it. Now, I've tried to stop. Now, I can't. Well, you need Jesus is what you need. You need the blood of Christ. You need to understand what He did. You're doing it on your own. You're making up your own religion. You're considering yourself righteous when you're not righteous. Hey! Let no man deceive you. He that is righteous, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. No such a thing. But this modern gospel that the devil has woven on his loom of lies, that's what it says. Says you, and it teaches everybody that you can sin and get away with it. I mean, hey, that's what we are. We're all just sinners. We're no more than sinners saved by grace. And grace covers it all. And grace covers nothing. That word's never mentioned in the Bible in connection with that word. Those two words are never mentioned together in the Bible in any way. Amen. Grace and cover. That's a man-made, devil-made saying. Amen. And it's the basis of their understanding about sin and what it is and how God just don't. Jesus didn't do nothing for you if sin still has dominion over you. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's what I believe. That's what I'll believe till the day I die. Amen. And that's what I'll preach till the day I die. Amen. I don't care what they say. We're talking about reprobates. We're talking about people that are gone beyond. They've swallowed this poison all the way down. And it's running out of their pores of their skin. Amen. And they can't understand anything any different. Their experience is what where they draw truth from. Because they're not delivered from sin, they don't think nobody can be. And the Bible says, if any man sin. It doesn't say when any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. It says if. Y'all know that? If. It's not a necessity. It's not an obligated thing. You don't have to sin. But you think you're perfect. Nah. Where do you come up with that? If I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. I've had to go and ask forgiveness lots of times since I've been saved. Yes. Yes, sir. But it ain't because sin has dominion over me and my soul and my life. I live in a septic tank of the universe. Yes, that's right. And so do you. Well, the previous verses tell what these people practice, what it was. These people that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. If you read those previous verses, they had a sinning religion. They were religious, but they sinned all the time. Even murder. Murder. And all the rest of it. Says so. List what they believed and what they practiced and what they did. They also professed. They had all the fleshly traits of a sinner, but yet claimed to be a child of God. You ever seen anybody like that? You ain't like that, are you? They also professed to be wise, professing themselves to be wise. Now, everybody else didn't say, boy, these are wise men. They said it about themselves. They looked in the mirror and said, boy, you are one smart cookie. You understand things nobody else understands. Yes, sir. You just need to tell. They just need to let you tell them. You could sure straighten out that preacher preaching that stuff about, you know, living a life of holiness and before God. You could tell him a thing or two, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. The smarter you are, the smarter you think you are, is really the dumber you are, the more ignorant you are. Now that's, I found that out through life. We've talked about it. Some of us have talked about it. I've said it a lot of times, you know, the farther along I get, it seems like the less I know. Yes, sir. I also have heard some other things like this, and I kind of believe this is right. I don't know very much, but what I do know, I know well. What I do know, like the things I'm saying to you here this morning, I know well. I know well. Now, there's a lot of things that I can't be as dogmatic about as this. But I can be dogmatic about this. Because the Bible is full of it. You can't, I just don't understand how anybody can see it any other way. Until I get to looking at this massive web and net that the devil has made. And how they have built it through all of the centuries here into their theology. And they've taught it. And indoctrinated people into it. Indoctrination is when you teach somebody to believe something without question. And so they won't even question it. They don't even question it. They won't allow you to question it. They will not allow you to challenge them to question it. They ain't questioning it. And you ain't questioning it either. And when you continue to try to question it, they'll destroy you if they can. To shut you up. It's like Democrats. And all the rest of the politicians too, by the way. They do not walk after the Spirit, but after the flesh. They're not sure. I mean, they are sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, and they support one another in their delusion and exclude and ostracize and persecute anyone who disagrees with them. Now, verse 24 and 25. Wherefore God also gave them up. Do you see that those words? Gave them up. We're reading another few verses. He gave them up. Then we're going to read again where he gave them over. Give them up. Give them up. Gave them over. What do you think that means? What in the world? How in the world could you interpret it any other way except God? Just reprobate means rejected. God will not accept it. They talk to one another and they accept their crazy logic among one another. I saw a deal the other day where one of these news people were trying to talk to this pro-abortion woman about this all this mess they've come up with all of a sudden that's in the news about the abortion and killing babies after they're born. And it was insane. It was insane. She wouldn't even discuss it. She wouldn't even talk about his question. He just kept on and on. No. He said, we're not talking about all of that. All I want to know is, what do you think about the governor's statements about killing a baby after it's born alive? Right back into her same old spiel of craziness. I mean, she said a man didn't have not one word of say in what happened about all that. No man had any word, not one word, she said, to say in it. It was a woman's right. Nonsense, craziness. They're so sure of themselves. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you talk to a woman like that, she'd tell you she's saved. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. People with this kind of mind and heart and attitude, God gives them up. You better look in the mirror. What kind of attitude you got? Well, how do you accept what God says? I mean, when it's thus saith the Lord about anything. I mean, we could really tighten the noose right here. People just pick and choose what they want to believe. And the Bible tells us right here that when you do that, God, you're giving up. You turn away your ear from hearing the Word of God. And God will turn away His ear from hearing your prayer. That's what He says, plainly. You know, Herod brought Jesus in to see the miracle. What did Jesus say to Herod? Not one word. He would not answer him. Made Herod mad. Jesus would not say a word to him. He's not a puppet. He's not a monkey that performs. And Herod's mind was not the kind of mind that was acceptable unto God. Let the words of my mouth and let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. His wasn't acceptable. Neither were a lot of others. When Jesus wasn't there facing him, he called him a fox. You tell that fox that I said. And it wasn't because he's afraid of Herod. He just wasn't going to cast pearls before swine. That's the way God is. You won't listen? He ain't going to make you listen. He'll just turn away from you. Turn, give you up to uncleanness. Uncleanness. Amen. Unclean spirit takes over. Yes. Yeah. You can be filthy in body. You can be filthy in your mind. You can be filthy in your heart. God will just leave you alone. Yes. You just get used to it. And your soul, if you could look into the soul of a person like that, it would look like one of these hoarders' house where they have hundreds of cats and dogs and snakes and alligators and everything else and the feces a foot deep on the floor. That's what your soul would look like. God turns them up. He gives them up to uncleanness and lets them go. They've changed the truth of God into a lie. In their mind. Oh, I hope you listen to me. In their mind, the truth is a lie. The truth about what? Well, here's the issue, folks. The issue is the truth about sin and salvation. That's it. They believe that salvation does not deliver you from sin. They've turned the truth of God into a lie. It's a lie, they say, that you can live your life without being under the dominion of sin. It's a lie. They don't believe it. They'll call you that. They'll call you that very word right to your face. They'll say, well, if you think you don't have no sin, you're a liar. Well, now that you now you better go back here and read that again. Be read that chapter in 1 John again, because that's not what he's talking about. And the same verses where he talks about that, the same number of verses talk about how he forgives us of all of our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. What are you going to do with that? Let's talk about that a while. Amen. In light of these other verses, let's take the whole counsel of God. Let's don't go through there picking and choosing to support a sinning religion. Amen. They call evil good and good evil now. And that's how they understand and judge everything and everybody else. Now, you get everything upside down and backwards and you're really messed up. I mean, you just see the world completely different. Any ideas, any philosophies, any ideas about right and wrong and morality, you see them completely different. When you got everything up backwards like that, the foundations are destroyed and there's no place to meet with them, to reason, or discuss anything pertaining to these matters. Anything you say to them concerning sin, judgment, and righteousness is understood by them entirely backwards and upside down. God, the devil works in religious people, in church people, to establish this stronghold of his, this stronghold of deception and crazy thinking. He works in the churches to do that. People out there living in rank sin, they don't care. They don't care about this. And here's what I found out, boy. Just like the other day, you know, I was preaching to a pretty rough crowd, and there was not one face that wasn't looking at me and listening to every word I said. There was not one person in there that I could see at all that was resisting what I was saying at all. And I go to church, and it's full of it. I meet other so-called Christians, and you can just feel the friction. Because they don't agree with me. Well, you don't agree with me. It's the truth. That's what matters. I'll be dead and gone one of these days, but the truth will still be here. I mean, all flesh is like grass, and the grass perishes, you know. It fades away. But the Word of God will stand forever. Truth ain't going nowhere. It's always going to be true. Well, the truth we're talking about here is going to outlast every one of us. Amen. So the foundations are destroyed and there's no way to meet with them and talk with them. There's no common ground we can get on. We're polarized in the churches just like our country's polarized about politics and morals. The trouble in our country is because of the trouble in the churches. That's where it started. That's where it has its roots. All of those people, it amazes me what comes out of their mouths sometimes concerning the things of God, the Word of God. They quote Scripture and they say these little cliches about grace and all of this. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Did you ever read all the stories about Bill Clinton and when he got saved and Billy Graham and all of that and Jimmy Carter being born again and all of them, George Bush, and everybody's saved. But they got their influence, see, in the churches. They're influenced by what's going on in the churches. That sin and religion, that web the devil has woven in the churches, is the reason our country is in such a state that it's in. And that's why you got to go back to the very beginning. And God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land and I'll forgive their sin. Yeah. So here's where the problem's at. I found out you can go to missions and preach where all the homeless people are. You can go out on a street corner and preach and people listen to you. And they don't get all riled up. It's the religious people that get all riled up. I used to preach on the street, and it was the people from church who were ashamed of me and avoided being down there at the time. It just irked them if they come by there while I was down there, because it was like, oh no. Other people would stand there and listen. Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? Who's God given up? Who does God give over? Who are these reprobate people that we're talking about here this morning? All right. God gives them up to uncleanness and stops reasoning and dealing with them. Oh my, you're in trouble when God stops reaching out to you. Can you imagine what it'd feel like to just be left alone? God, where are you? Read Jonah when he was in the belly of the whale on the bottom of the sea. There's what it feels like.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I mean, the depths of hell enclosed about him.
Yes.
The darkness fell over him. God. Oh. For this cause, verse 26, 27, for this cause. Now you get all the rest that we've read about. God gave them up to uncleanness. They had all this. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, all right, now that covers a lot. That ain't just talking about intimate relations. That's talking about women's liberation. That's talking about equal rights. That's talking about women leaving the role of a woman and taking the man's place in society and then trying to do away with the man. Now, what's happened? What's happened here? Leaving the natural use. The women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. It's against nature for a woman to be a weightlifter. It's against nature for a woman to be a fireman. Amen! I don't care if anybody believes it. That's right. It's against nature. Her nature. You can take a little bitty girl like that and she ain't interested in that stuff. Somebody's got to mess with her mind. Somebody's got to fill her with stupid philosophies of this ungodly world before she'll think like that. She wants baby dolls. She already does it. She prisses around and prances around like a girl. She don't act like a wrestler or like a lumberjack. Natural use of the woman. Boy, that's offensive, ain't it? Ain't a bit offensive to me. It ain't a bit offensive to God. He made a male and female, and he and both together represent the image of God. Ain't nothing wrong about it. Ain't nothing belittling about it. There's nothing demeaning about it. It's demeaning to a woman when she acts like a man, dresses like a man, tries to have the attributes of a man and be proud of it. Strength and courage and all of that and aggressiveness. They despise it in a man, but they measure a woman's worth by how much of it she's got. Hypocrites. Fools, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So they turned it against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Well, of course, they're going to leave it. I mean, men don't. That don't appeal to a man. Man was made with a desire for a woman. Not a butch. That's right. He needs a woman to protect, to provide for, to love and to cherish. He don't need somebody that's beating him over the head and threatening him all the time and able to emasculate him. That ain't what he needs. That ain't what he wants. So they just leave it. So likewise, the men. When the women got like that, they just said, who needs it? Do you know that's the way it is right now? Most men don't want to get married because it's just too big a risk.
Amen.
You know, women are a dime a dozen.
Yep.
If all you want is sex, it's there for the taking. I don't know why prostitution's still in business. It's free everywhere.
Amen.
So why would a man want to commit himself to a woman and marry her when she's just going to take everything he's got in a couple of years?
Yep.
That's where we're at right now. So leaving the natural use of the woman. Let's go somewhere else and get him. Go to the Philippines. Go to Russia. Go somewhere else and get a woman that'll be glad to have somebody take care of her. So she don't have to live in stinking poverty for the rest of her life. She'll be glad to be a wife and a mother. That's where we're at, see? So the men, likewise the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men working men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was me. See, the whole thing just collapses. When God gives them up, they're given to vile affections. He gave them up to vile affections. The way it is, men are supposed to love women, and women are supposed to love men. And that results in marriage and family and children and the image of God. And a way to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A way to raise children that have a mind that's balanced and thinks right and has a right attitude and a right... You break all that and you raise children, they just grow up wild and crazy and like we're seeing all around us. All this nonsense and crazy. This is unnatural affections, which include sodomy and all other kinds of sexual perversions. Because their affections are not on God or holy things. They set their affection on things of this world without any limits or restraints. And this leads quickly to the complete madness which we're seeing in our world right now. All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They live that way and they entertain themselves with other people who are doing it. They not only do it themselves, but they like to turn on the TV and watch somebody else do it. Murder and fornication and all of this other stuff. If they ain't doing it themselves, what time they ain't doing it, they're watching somebody else do it. Reprobate. God give them over to a reprobate mind. And they can excuse themselves because they're just a sinner saved by grace. Mm-hmm. I've actually seen people who murdered somebody claim that. They refuse to retain God in their knowledge. They want to pretend that He does not exist and then act accordingly. And these people are unreachable. They're just lost and condemned and have put themselves beyond the reach of God's grace. The grace of God has appeared to them because the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Titus chapter 2. So all men have, God has extended His grace to all men. He's the light of every man that cometh into the world. I believe that. I don't believe God's ever left anybody in darkness that I just ain't never going to speak to Him, never going to talk to Him. I ain't going to let Him know nothing about me. If He looks up to the heavens declare the glory of God. God has reached out. The light has reached every person in some degree. How they respond to it is up to them. They're lost. The grace of God has appeared to these people, these reprobates, but they have rejected it and spit on it. They've been cut off. They've cut off and blockaded every avenue by which God can deal with them and speak to their heart and mind. They've cut it off. They won't allow any kind of influence in their life whatsoever, in their hearing, in their sight. They will allow no influence that might remind them that there's a God, that might remind them of what's right and what's wrong in His sight. They don't want no part of it. That's what all this is about banning God from the schools and banning God from public view. That's what it's about. It started in the churches. They've cut it off. So God steps away from them and gives them over to their own stubborn, selfish, deceived, reprobate mind that'll lead them to swift self-destruction. And remember, all this started with a sin in religion that made it possible to continue in sin or be under the dominion of sin and still claim to be righteous in the sight of God. That's where it all started. Remember? Remember? We read it in the very beginning here. That when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. So it all started. They had a form of godliness. They denied the power thereof. And this is where they ended up. Look around you. Look at our country. Look at the state of the churches in this country and around the world, where we've sent our poison to the rest of the world. The great whore has polluted the world with her fornication. That's what this is. It's spiritual fornication. And it ain't no question in my mind whatsoever who that great whore is that has defiled the world with her sorcery, her drugs, and her fornication. It's us. It's our country. She's going to find the swift judgment of God. Oh my, we're sitting here this morning. I've been thinking about Yellowstone out there, a bulging up and a blowing steam everywhere, that places that had never done it before. And they say, don't worry, don't worry. The scientists, they got this under control. Don't worry, ain't nothing going to happen. And the Bible says it's going to blow up in a day, the whole, I mean, never going to be heard from again. That great whore that's polluted the earth with her sorcery, with her fornication, with her lies, her sinning religion. You better not have no part of it. I don't want no part of it. They can ostracize me all they want to. They can get on Facebook and blast me all they want to. I do not care. No, sir. I see the thing here. This is where it started. Do you see that? That it started with a sin in religion that made it possible to continue in sin or under the dominion of sin and still claim to be righteous in the sight of God. And talk about Jesus coming, taking me out of here and taking me to His home. But I'm sinning all the time and I just can't help. Well, if I went to get married and the woman I was going to marry told me, now, you needn't to expect me to be faithful to you because I just can't. That wouldn't fly with me. How many of you guys would say, well, okay, I understand. Me neither. How many of you would be that way? And you'd stand before God and vow to be faithful to one another when you know you can't and you won't. God vows to be faithful to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always. And then you come to God and say, now, Lord, I'll do the best I can. But you know, I'm just flesh and, you know, got this sinful nature and I can't help it and I can't stop it. And I sin every day and thought, word, and reading, no matter how hard I try. And God says, well, okay, I'll take you on those terms. What a lie out of hell. I mean, I know that's the devil that convinces people that that'll go. Won't go. Now, the important issue for the Christian, and listen to me, and most people who listen to this, they'll cut me off before I got here. But listen to me. The most important issue for the true Christian, if you're one of them this morning, you need to listen to this. It is this. Now, we cannot know for sure who has crossed this line and who has not. Now, that's a fact. That's just the way it is. I know that's right. I know it because of what I've seen through all the years. I've saw people that I'd have bet the farm. They was a low-down, full-blown reprobate, and there wasn't no hope for them. I've seen them get saved. If I had to call it, I was wrong. I've seen others that I'd have bet the farm they's going to endure to the end and shine forever as the stars. And they bailed, and they're in all kinds of wicked sin now. So here's the deal. The most important thing about us here that we got to look at is that we can only look on the outward appearance and listen to the words that come out of their mouths, but we can't see what is in their deepest heart or what is really going on in their mind. Everybody puts up this smoke screen around them to hide those things that are in there. And sometimes that's the way it is. You don't know what's really in there. They may display all the evidence of being a total reprobate, but down in there may be a spark down in there somewhere that we can't see. Yes, absolutely. Surely, we've all known sinners that we thought to be hopeless cases, but we've seen them come to the light and be gloriously saved and living for God and soldiers of the cross. Been looking for that book about John Newton, once blind. If you just read the first part of it and what he was like, you'd say, what a reprobate. And you can't believe that it's actually the same person here. If you'd read about George Mueller, you'd say the same thing. A fornicating, thief, lazy, no-count bum, by his own admission. George Mueller! Yeah. He looked like a reprobate. But God knows that. We don't, see? God looks on the heart. We look on the outward appearance. So it's not our business to judge who's a reprobate and who's not, but to preach the gospel to every creature until Jesus takes us home. They preach to reprobates? Yes, sir. Done it all these years. Might as well just keep on doing it.
Amen.
We don't know, but, you know, we do know that it's a fact that there are people who are reprobates. And that there is no reasoning with them and no reaching them for God. Now, we know that's a fact. I believe that's a fact. There's some out there. There's some everywhere that are beyond. But that knowing that fact doesn't give us the liberty or the authority to pick and choose who we reach out to with the word of life. Y'all understanding this? This is the most important thing I'm saying this morning. Just because we look at somebody and they're so ungodly and so wretched and so offensive to our soul in the sight of God, that don't mean that we should say, well, no, they're not deserving of even hearing. What did Jesus say? Preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to all the world. That's what we're supposed to do then, ain't it? We're not supposed to go around saying, well, now look, I believe he's reprobate. Forget him. Forget her. Lost cause. No, no. Never! Never! Hold forth the word of life. Speak the truth in love. If it falls on deaf ears, if it's rejected, that's not our business. Not our business. That's God's business. God will fix that later. He'll take care of that later. He'll deal with that later. It's not our business. It simply explains to us why some will never listen and will never be saved. We struggle over that. Why can't they understand? Why won't they listen? What can I do to make them listen? Preach the gospel. Proclaim the truth. Live the truth. Be right with God. Walk. And so your good works will glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the only thing we're to do. It's the only thing. That's our only responsibility. And we're not to reject or cull anybody. It is also a solemn warning to all about the dangers of being lost and beyond the reach of the light of God. Everybody better take heed. Paul even prayed and talked about, lest I be a castaway. It's a solemn warning about you better be careful how you allow your mind to be influenced, how you allow your thoughts to run, the thought patterns and the way of reasoning that you develop in your mind, especially concerning moral issues, you can become a reprobate very easily. It should be something that we warn sinners about, that if they fool around too long and cross too many boundaries with their stubborn, selfish pursuit of sin, they could find themselves in the darkness from which there's no escape. Try to warn people, you know, you can't play with sin. You know, you've all read about it'll take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, it'll cost you more than you wanted to pay, and all that. But here's the thing. What you need to really let sink in is that most who go that way never return. And the Bible says about that Proverbs woman in Proverbs, that strange woman, says all that go into her do not return. Her steps are the way to hell. So you better be careful. Which road you run down? You better gird up the loins of your mind. You better put on the helmet of salvation. You better gird your loins about with truth. You'll end up in the darkness. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. You know, that's what he felt about himself. If Jesus would have culled what everybody else thought was a reprobate, I'd have been culled. But he saw what other people didn't see. And he reached way down for me. The way God deals with the hearts of men is above our heads. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, 34 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" Our duty is just to occupy till he comes and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, to hold forth the word of life, and to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel, to be instant in season, out of season, and to strengthen the things that remain, and having done all, to stand. That's what we're to do. And here's the thing. Our duty is not to try to figure out who's a reprobate and who's not. That's why the next chapter, Romans chapter 2, starts out. How many of you know what it starts out with? How well do you know your Bible? Romans chapter 2, right after these verses, he starts talking about not judging other people. Not trying to figure out this matter. That's why it starts, the next chapter begins with instructions not to judge people this way, because there is no respect of persons with God, verse 11. In other words, God shows no favoritism, and he's willing to forgive whosoever will come to him. Now the danger is letting your mind become so unclean and your heart so full of vile affections that your mind goes reprobate. And you can't think well enough anymore to be reasoned with. You change the truth of God into a lie, and so you've lost your compass. And the only way out of it is for you to trust somebody else that's got a compass to help you get to the light. Amen. And there's where the thing is. When you're self-righteous, you don't trust nobody. You won't believe nobody. You're going to do this on your own. Amen. Let's stand. We got to quit. There's a lot more that I wanted to bury in on. Maybe we can do it some other time. But this thing of people's minds and crossing the line, over the line. Don't go over the line. I don't know where you're at this morning in your mind. Those that are here, I hope that you're all saved. I hope you all think right. I hope your mind operates in the realm of truth only. Truth from God, not what you think, not your opinion, not influenced by your opinions or feelings, just raw truth. Straight truth. Yielded to God. Really yielded to God. And obedient. You can know the truth. And what does it do for you? Makes you free. Makes you free. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these things we've talked about. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would drive it home. That whoever might hear this, the folks that are standing here right now, please, that it might be a help to them, Lord, is my desire. It might be a warning to those who are about to step over that line to where they will lose the connection, lose the understanding, lose the ability to communicate, be communicated with from the light. Lord, help us. I pray you'd Just bless it to our heart now and get us home in Jesus' name. Amen.